US.
You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
I bless the day I found you. I want to stay around you, and so I beg you, let it be me. Don't take this heaven from one if you must cling to someone now and forever. Let it be me.
So hard to interrupt the Everly Brothers.
Each time we
hey, you know, Eddie, you should.
I grew up on that music.
Well, not only did you grow up, they're from Kentucky, just like you, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. I've been by their house. I took my grandson by there back in about, well, my grandson's 22 now. When he was 17 years old, we went through there.
Just a bunch of Kentucky boys making good.
I'm telling you.
Eddie the Bombardier Miller and the Everly Brothers. And the Everly brother that's still alive actually has a home in Nashville in which Nathan Bedford Forrest recuperated in after one of his injuries. And so the bedroom where this Everly brother, I guess, has slept, I don't know how many houses he has, but this is one of them. Nathan Bedford Forrest actually was there after one of his injuries during the war. So, and he said that was a beautiful thing, one of the reasons he bought the house.
Nathan Bedford Forrest, now there's a man.
You got that right. You got that right. And we got his flag right up there.
Yes, we do. That's my flag.
On the wall, as always.
Stars and bars forever.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool, third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast, the last before Valentine's Day, which is why you're getting all of this good Valentine's Day romantic, feel-good 60s music that we love so much. Finally, the pace slows down a little bit. We had so much to talk about during the first hour. After you missed a week, I missed last week, which is so rare. But you did a great job, by the way,
in
handling that. A couple of great guests, Pastor Matt Farce, appearing for the first time on the Political Cesspool, talking about who is the real Israel, and then Tex Mars back on the show again to talk about the Holy Serpent of the Jews. And that's something we do here. We talk about racial realities. We talk about Jewish power and influence. And we don't worship sacred cows. We eat them. And so, Eddie.
We love to butcher them.
last week was a little more esoteric, I guess, than talking about what's going on in the Trump administration. But it is something we do. And on the rare occasion when I'm out and we unleash Eddie and the stars align, it was an interesting show. We're back to more of our standard fare tonight. Busy first hour trying to catch up on the missed week last week where I was out of town. Keith and I crammed in as much as we could. And then, of course, the last hour was very busy with not one but two incredible guests, two incredible people, Lana Lochtiff and Henrik Palmgren of Red Ice. And now Eddie and I can just breathe. And that's what we're going to do this hour. Hey, a lot to cover before it's all said and done this evening. Political Cesspool back in the news this week. The last time I was on, I shared with you that I turned down the History Channel. History Channel wanted me to appear in a documentary about the alt-right and terrorism. Now, do you think, Eddie, I was cast to be the good guy or the bad guy in that particular documentary?
Well, you know you were going to be cast the good guy. They were going to show you, make you look like a Satan.
Yeah. We turned that one down. But we're still in the news. We're still in the news. So, Donald Trump with the Muslim ban. I put out a tweet on Twitter. On Twitter, you tweet. And I wrote, God bless you, Mr. President, for putting America first. The Muslim ban is the right thing to do. Don't be bothered by virtue signaling cucks / social justice warriors. That was my tweet. Well, I will say this. Our expansion into Twitter, which is only a few months old now. I think we've been on there 5 or 6 months, maybe not even that long. We got on there late last fall. I think we're the last one to join Twitter in the world. But we've gotten a lot of press from Twitter. Hillary Clinton's campaign picked up on one of our tweets and said that if based upon that tweet, if Trump won, I'd be one of the people shaping the administration. I wish that was true. But we've gotten a lot of publicity based off tweets.
Hold up just a minute.
CNN
now, if we were truly shaping it, Hillary would be behind bars right now.
Well, that's, you got that right. You got that right. There was one tweet in my support of Mike Pence that CNN had a Donald Trump spokesman on during the campaign. They said, what do you think about James Edwards saying this? And she's like, well, we can't control what he says.
But, got that right.
The only person that can do that is Sam Bushman. I've been sick every day of 2017, folks. I've had the flu. I've still got a cold.
So well, I'll have to pick you up with some good old Pappy's cold and rheumatism medicine.
Well, we call it Pappy's old cough medicine, and that's that comes out of a Jack Daniels number 7.
Got that right.
But anyway, I did a tweet last week. God bless you for putting America
first.
God
be blessed by the Mormon Pope, though.
The Muslim ban is the right thing to do. And that got picked up by a couple of publications. There was one article, white supremacists celebrate Donald Trump's Muslim ban. James Edwards said, God bless you, in response to it. And the Southern Poverty Law Center did a big article on it also, taking me to town for saying God bless you. It's really bad when somebody says God bless you. As you'll find out if you ever join Twitter, Pappy. But I can tell you that. So we're still in the news. I actually did an interview this week. I very rarely give interviews. But when it's 20-year-old college students, sometimes they get me. It's like Big Jim Folsom said, when you bait the trap like that, you'll catch Big Jim every time. that was George Wallace's mentor, of course. But anyway, so this young college student.
That's a secret to being a fisherman, man. You got
She's already been published, though, in the Washington Post and some other mouthpieces of the regime. And I've done a couple of interviews with her. I don't normally do any interviews, but she's all right. I mean, she's probably awful. She's a liberal, but she's nice enough. And anyway, did this thing on journalistic ethics, and it turned into maybe I get to lecture the class because they were very enamored by my lawsuit against the Detroit News. That's something they're studying, and so who knows where that's going to end up. But that's just another thing, just another week in the life of the political cesspool. Got banned from Twitter this week for no reason. No reason at all. In fact, one of our most loyal listeners in the world, if not the most loyal listener in the world, up in Canada, found out about it before I did. He said, hey, are you off Twitter? I said, no. He said, yeah, you are. Go check it. And sure enough, I was suspended. But then I was back. I got reinstated. Now, I was never given a reason before or after my suspension because, of course, I don't cross the line. I don't threaten violence. I don't use curse words. I mean, I fancy myself here on AM radio as a legitimate conservative talker, which is exactly what we are. Anyway, so our suspension or ban, if you will, from Twitter was short-lived, but nevertheless, it did happen. Busy week every week for the political cesspool, right, Pat?
Right, got that right. You know what? I do have a Twitter account, but unfortunately, I can't remember my password.
Well, you have to join another one.
Yeah.
Make another one and join us.
That's what I'll do.
Join me on. Follow me. You follow on Twitter. That's I'm still learning the lingo. Follow me on Twitter. All right, we're gonna unleash Eddie. I told Eddie, Keith pulled a rope-a-dope on us. He said Eddie was going to be out tonight.
Boom.
But he wasn't. And so I shifted some stuff.
Well, not, but I am.
We'll be right back.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 Moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Tries to change the music when we have it. I'll tell Keith always, but you know, I guess he should be owed a few songs. He's a co-host. We should probably divvy it up 4, 4, and 4. We got 3 hours.
I like Wagner myself.
Do you have any Valentine's Day music?
You know, Wagner. Hail, hop, 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 the Hell March. You ever seen the Hell March?
Right. Next Valentine's Day, I'll work that in for you. Honestly, look, fun and games aside, we do have some sad news to report tonight. I told Eddie about this a second ago. The Navy Chief, Art Frith, our former producer. Now, he's not dead. No, I'm sorry about that. When I told Eddie was that one of our former guests has passed away. I don't remember Art ever being a guest. He was our producer.
He was kind of like our boss.
He really was, because he did kind of marshal us into some discipline.
He was Navy Chief is what they do.
He was a Navy Chief. Art, I gave a speech up in Michigan back in October. Did a couple of TV appearances up in Michigan too for Trump, on behalf of Trump, I should say, not for Trump. But and Art came out to my talk up there. Had a great time catching up with him. He was our producer during the early years of TPC. 04 to 07, 08, I believe it was. Anyway, Art emailed me just before the show started. One of our previous guests passed away today, and he was one of our more notable guests, Lieutenant General Hal Moore.
Oh, no kidding.
Lieutenant General Harold G. Moore, just a couple of days shy of his 95th birthday. Harold Moore fought in Vietnam. He wrote the book We Were Soldiers. Mel Gibson played his character in the movie We Were Soldiers, And Hal Moore came on our show way back in 2005. Had a great interview with him. Great man. Passed away today, 94 years old. Passed away on his wife's birthday.
Wow.
Who passed away. She passed away some years before. But, of course, you're a Vietnam man, Eddie.
What a warrior. What a warrior.
Tell us a little bit. You're a Vietnam man. You did two tours in Vietnam, honorably discharged both times. I wanted to save this for you once Art informed me. Your thoughts on Hal Moore. Tell us who Hal Moore really was.
You know, Hal Moore at the time, you know, they were just getting the Air Cavalry started. I believe Hal Moore was probably with the 1st Air Cavalry Division, what later became the 1st Air Cav. You know, I was never with that unit. But the man, they did an experimental, outfit at first. He was one of the first officers to run the Air Cav, if I'm not mistaken. But they went in, a hell of a battle. They went in, their intelligence wasn't as good as it should have been.
And that's what the movie's based on. What was that battle?
That's right. That was back then, there in, I think, in what they call the Ashaw River Valley, in there, around a place called La Drang.
Yeah, that's it.
And, man, I tell you what, they were thinking they were going up against something like a company, in the company level, which would be about 240, 50 men. And come to find out, there was a whole regiment they were going against, and they were outnumbered 5, 6, 10 to 1. And it was a horrible outfit. And
did you miss that one?
Thank God. And didn't miss nothing, son. But yeah, it was. The guy was so cool under fire.
First man, first boot on the ground, last boot to leave.
Yep. You know, they had one machine gunner there, just an old corporal to save the day that kept the gooks off of him. And you know. I can't say enough for him. He was a warrior's warrior. Yes, he was.
And he said that on our show. I think the last thing he said, I'd have to go back and pull up that archive. Didn't have time to do it tonight because I was just informed.
I have no idea that he
by the chief. Well, I didn't either until Chief emailed me just a few minutes before we went on the air tonight. I believe the last thing he said when he was a guest on this show was, "Hate war, but love the American warrior."
Yep. Well, you know what? Nobody pays a higher price than the warrior. You know, all these people that start the wars, I cannot tell you how much I despise these politicians that start the wars.
And that's why I really like having you on to talk about this, because you're a man who, unlike me or Keith, for instance, actually has served and did his time in war.
Well, I'll tell you flat out, and I'll tell everybody, don't thank me. You know, and I'm always, when people thank me, they say, "Oh, thank you for your service." And I'm respectful back, because they're respectful to me. But I'll say, well, with all due respect, don't thank me. Thank the draft board and thank Leavenworth Penitentiary.
Would you have to been drafted to serve in the Army of Northern Virginia?
No, sir. I was shanghaied. I was knocked in the head and shanghaied to serve in the central government's army.
Well, you know, and of course we didn't – right. We didn't intend to talk about this tonight because, of course, you can never plan when someone's going to go on to their eternal reward. But we definitely want to salute with all respect and reverence Lieutenant General Harold G. Moore, former guest on this program, obviously a hero. You can say what you want to about that war and many wars that this nation has fought, but that doesn't take away the valor and the dignity and the honor of men like that who did their duty. No matter what.
And even the enemy respected people like that. You know, soldiers, a real soldier, there is a kind of like an unspoken honor amongst soldiers, more so than you see the politicians.
Sure.
You've seen that, but throughout history, I mean, you're putting your life on the line. You're living under the most horrible conditions. You're getting the crappy food. Crappy sleeping conditions, sleeping in the rain.
There couldn't have been much worse conditions than that particular battle.
No, it'd been hard. You know what? I thank God every day, though, that I wasn't in Korea. You know, Korea, I think Korea, as far as the Americans are concerned, was the most hellish place you could possibly be. They went in there, I'll digress a little bit. They went into Korea in 1950, 1951, and they were totally unprepared, as the Americans always are, because the politicians don't give a damn. They went in. They had summer clothes, and you know what? Guess what the temperature got? And these guys are wearing summer clothes up there in a place called the Chosin Reservoir, the frozen Chosin, 30 below zero. They're up there. I gotta make this quick. We had a Colonel Hackworth. I tried to get him on. He's dead now, bless his soul. Went from buck private to all the way to full colonel. He was commissioned in the field, but he was getting. This is the hardcore of the hardcore. He was like 19 years old in Korea. He was getting ready to shoot himself in the foot because he was frozen. So far, it was like 20, 30 below zero. And so they could take him back to a field hospital so he could just get warm a little bit. And then the sun started coming up, and they were allowed to light their fires. But I hate cold weather. I'm resting too much.
Well, you don't hate you. You must not hate this February day in Memphis where it was 80.
I loved it.
But anyway, two quick things because
I got distracted.
That ended up taking up most of the segment. But this is totally. I don't even want to disrespect the general by switching topics in the segment that we brought up his passing.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah, saluting Pappy. Super Bowl, Tom Brady. We got an article about him on the website. Tom Brady and Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick. Belichick and Brady both supported Donald Trump, so I was very happy to see them. Yes. And they are the whitest team in the NFL.
That's right.
They are the whitest team in the NFL. So congratulations. I never thought I would congratulate New England.
Well, you know what? They're named the Patriots, and that's what we are. You and me and the political
Cesspool,
we're Patriots. And, you know, they've been singled out by a lot of blacks and a lot of quacko liberals as being having white privileges. They said that a lot of the whackos, the blacks, the liberals are saying that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, Mr. Kraft, won because of white privilege.
Yeah,
it
right.
was a scheme. It was a setup, you know.
Brady was the 199th pick in the draft, and he played through all of it. But, no, listen, that was the greatest comeback in sports history. That
yes,
was something
it was.
To behold. Also, headline, don't have time to sink our teeth into this because I want to turn this whole next segment over to you. Russia has been declared the global leader of Christian rights, which is another reason why they need to be our greatest ally.
I wish we could move there.
And not that sandbox in Israel. You got that.
Amen
right.
to that.
Hey, but maybe we can make America great again. We got a chance here with Sessions and
yeah,
Trump.
We can't run.
If not, let's go to – we'll do what Gerard Depardieu and Steven Seagal did. We'll go to Russia.
We can't cut and run. We got to stay here and fight.
All right. Well, we got to fight for the South.
That's
South
right.
South first.
That's right.
America second.
First, South first, last, and always.
Yeah, right. We'll be back right after this.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
What Bush built and Obama preserved will be expanded under Trump. The Trump administration is finalizing an executive order that effectively tells allies and Islamic State fighters alike Guantanamo is open for business, reports Foreign Policy magazine. The draft executive order temporarily bars the transfer of any current detainee and instructs the U.S. military to bring any new detainees, explicitly including Islamic State militants, to the military prison in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, continues the report. This would mean prolonging the confinement of dozens of detainees who were cleared for release but unable to find somewhere else to go. Some officials privy to discussions of the Trump administration's counterterrorism priorities have claimed that the disastrous January 29th raid in Yemen was intended, at least in part, to capture new detainees to be imprisoned and interrogated in the Gitmo facility. One side effect of the Gitmo executive order may be action by Congress to update the ongoing statutory authorization for the war on terror. The Obama administration based its military campaign against ISIS on congressional authorizations for the use of military force in 2001 and 2002, which targeted al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein's Iraqi regime, respectively. New congressional authorization might be considered necessary to address potential legal challenges posed on behalf of new Guantanamo Bay detainees. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin MacDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Tuesday, everybody. Remember that special someone in your life. Eddie, what are you doing on Valentine's Day?
Taking my honey out someplace.
I think that means you don't have a plan yet. Is that? Don't tell me that's true.
Pappy always has a plan. I'm always. If you're married to Miss Pappy, you always have to have a plan. Plan A and B. But hey, speaking of my girl, I don't know if I've told you this or not, but you know I fundraise on Beale Street in Memphis. There's a blues band that comes in and out down there. I will say 100% black. And they're called the Smokin' Joe Blues Band. Well, your Pappy in Chief, not that last summer, summer before last, they were belting out My Girl, just one solid Goldie Nolan after another, and Dock of the Bay. I had to put
I remember you went in there and sang Dock of the Bay. Well, you told me about it.
Went in there and sung Dock of the Bay, and I'm telling you what, I was the only white guy there. Now, all the tourists are white. And I wouldn't even fundraise. I said, I'm just going to stop fundraising for St. Jude for a minute, put my bucket down, went up there and wrapped up Dock of the Bay.
Could you do that a cappella without any music tonight?
Well, I could come close. Sure could.
Let me see. Sitting in the morning sun.
I'll be sitting when the evening comes. Watching the ships roll in. And I'll watch them roll away again. Oh, sitting in the dock of the bay. Watching the tide roll away.
You give him that first note, he'll take it every time, ladies and gentlemen.
Watching that napalm drop.
You are the bombardier after all. All right. You originally were going to have an hour, because the third hour is traditionally yours. Now, Keith played a prank on us. He told me you weren't coming in tonight.
Well, I kind of set him up.
He set him up.
I was playing with Keith's mind like I'm prone to do.
We shifted some stuff over, but I want to give you this segment because we got Scoop coming up to close out the program tonight. Busy, fast-paced show tonight. But what do you want to talk about this segment?
I've got
to
get going. And how many minutes do I have?
Let's just say you got about six.
About six. Okay, let me get rock and rolling. If I have enough time, I'll hit something on Trump about and what I would do to the court after I got through locking them up. Anyway, I was at a park here in Memphis where I work out a lot. As you people probably know, I do a lot of running. I prepare for marathons, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I was over there, and I saw this beautiful family. It was Friday on my long run, and I had to stop and question them. They were typical Aryans. One of the most beautiful young women you'd ever want to see and her friend, and they had, like, three strollers. All three strollers were occupied with the most beautiful white babies you'd ever see. Then they had other, like, I guess toddlers, two and a half, three, 4 years old, out playing in front of the strollers. And they had two or three young men following them, probably the husbands. And so I stopped them just momentarily from my run, put my garment on hold, and I said, I would like to congratulate you and thank you for bringing these beautiful white babies into the world. I said, they're some of the most beautiful white babies I've ever seen, but all white babies are beautiful to me.
That's got
to
be a hate crime.
It was, according to them. And I said,
according to the people you said that to?
That's right. That's right.
So you told this to a white family and they got mad.
White family.
And they got upset.
They got very upset.
They got upset that you thanked them for having beautiful children.
The anger and the hatred.
Now, no other race. I haven't heard the story yet, ladies and gentlemen, so I'm reacting to this in real time as perhaps y'all are too. Eddie told me he had a story to share on the radio about an encounter he had at a park. I don't know.
It's true. And they were.
If you went and told any other race, thank you for having such a beautiful black or Jewish or Hispanic or whatever baby, would any of them take offense or would they say thank you?
They would say thank you. They would say thank you. And I told them, she said, what are you talking about? I said, well, you know, I'd like to congratulate you for your family. You have a beautiful family. I know it's a blessing to you, but it also for perpetuating our race. I said, she said, what do you mean by that? I said, it takes, according to statistics, it takes approximately 2.1 children per family, per heterosexual family where you have a male father and a female mother, to keep any race going, black, white, blue, whatever. I said, in our
especially
race.
Especially the blue race.
That's right. In our race, not just nationwide, but worldwide,
except for in Russia. Except for in Russia. Now, this was a few years ago, but yes, every white nation had a declining birth rate. Yep.
In this country. And she proceeded to tell me, and you should have seen her body language. She said, well, I support diversity. I said, well, that's fine. That's cool. So you're saying.
Well, this is part of the diversity to have white babies.
That's what I told her. I said, you support blacks and browns? Well, of course. I said, well, do you support whites? She said, goodbye, sir. I said, I'm just asking you flat. All I'm saying is, do you support the white race? You know, your own race, your own children.
And we're part of the diversity coalition, right? I mean, we're part of the diversity of humanity. Whites are included in that, right?
It's exactly. And I said, well, do you at least support your right to exist, my right to exist as a white person? She said, sir. I said, goodbye, sir. Well, I let her go, and I didn't go 50 yards and ran into this. I don't know if he's a Mexican, a South American Indian, whatever he was. I pulled him over and said, hey, you see those people up there, those white people, lily white people? They just got to tell me pretty much that they hate themselves. I asked them, would they support the white race? They're white, I'm white. And you know what they said? They said, they told me, goodbye, sir. I said, let me ask you this question, sir. I said, you're obviously not white by a long shot. Do you support white people? Do you support the right for white people to exist? And you know what he said? I swear to God, James, he said, no. He said, no, I don't. I said, well, do you support your own race? I said, he said, well, yeah. I said, well, you know what? You're up here and you left an outhouse country. Your country, Mexico, South America, wherever you are.
He said flat out no.
I said, you came from an outhouse country. Well, all he could do was smile, and he was real nervous. And I said, y'all can do is smile, and you come up here, and you know what you're going to do? You're going to turn this country here into an outhouse nation. This is my nation right
here. You can't
have
a first world nation with a third
world population.
You cannot.
I said, I cannot understand this. They're mentally ill. I salute you, sir, because at least you're sticking up for your own race. I cannot fault that. I just wish that God, our race, would do that.
It'll come
that's
back.
A true story.
That's incredible.
That happened to me, and that goes right off on the interview I heard on Red Ice with Joyce.
And, Dr. Andrew Joyce and Dr. Kevin McDonald.
And Dr. Kevin McDonald, they said that the white people in this country have been so brainwashed, there's so much self-hatred and self-guilt.
Well, and across the West, Sweden as well. Sweden perhaps even more than here.
It's all over the world.
Germany.
And, you know, the white race, we're the only race in the world. We're not allowed to be victims. We're not. Now, I'd like to kind of.
And we're not allowed to want to survive.
That's right. We can't. We're not allowed to survive. I'd like to shift gears right quick, like into the Trump saga that he's having with the court. What I would do, Abraham Lincoln did. I would start locking these judges up on boats like Lincoln did. He put some representatives and judges, what have you, on ships and Navy ships and lock them up in for the duration of the war, I guess. I would tell these, Donald Trump took an oath. He swore an oath on the Bible to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And our enemies, people, are not foreign. Our enemies are here in domestic. We have domestic enemies. I would take these people, and I would tell these black robe thug tyrants, I'd say, you know, go ahead and rule all you want to, but I'm going to do what I was sworn to do. I'm going to protect the Constitution of the United States against enemies like you, sir.
Yeah, see, this tyrant, this degenerate Abraham Lincoln, supposed to be our greatest president. He's not my president. He never was.
Amen.
But he locked up entire state legislatures to go against him. And he's supposed to be the greatest president, so Trump can't lock up a judge who is blatantly violating.
I would lock him up for treason, and he is treason. Anytime you go against the Constitution of the United States, that's treason.
Well, this judge is saying that foreign nationals have the same rights as American citizens. They can come here. The president has the authority to open the borders but not close the borders. I mean, obviously, it's just madness. But Trump, Pat Buchanan wrote an article about it. It's going to be featured on our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, on Monday. Trump must crush the courts.
Yes, he got to crush the courts. And you know what? Trump also... He's also sworn to defend the law of the United States. One of the laws of the United States, and I can't quote it, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not looking at it, but it says, goes like this. He has to, by oath, by sacred duty, to defend the people of the United States against invaders, against any dangerous, subversive element that comes into the country to do harm to the citizens, to our government, to our Constitution. And that's, by God, what he's doing. He's doing that. And he's going to have to do it come hell or high water. Like we said, he's going to have to pull a Lincoln. And I'll tell you what, I would lock them all up. You know, John Adams did it. He John Adams got to get that Foreign and Sedition Act, get the Foreigners and Sedition Act passed, so to speak, on a lot, hell of a lot less than what we're talking about here. He needs to go in there. I would lock them all up. I would lock their newspaper reports up.
And what if
up.
You got impeached? Let's just say that
I would say, too bad, so sad, I'm not going anywhere. I'll lock up the entire Congress. I would lock them up because you're enemies of the state. You're enemies of the Constitution. Domestic enemies, people. You're a domestic enemy. Your tail is locked up. I'm going to obey the Constitution. I'm going to protect these people, the United States. That's what I would do. That's what he needs to do.
The bombardier for president.
Amen, buddy.
We'll be back right after this final segment of the night.
I would defend the Constitution.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking, because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong. And in school, from a very young age, I was taught that smoking was not acceptable.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think smoking, for everybody, no matter what you say, leads to other things, because it just opens the door wider and wider.
Other studies have found that if you don't smoke in high school, you probably never will.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it, because the way I was raised has helped, and having the faith in God while I was raised and knowing that there would always be somebody there for me has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Keep it,
Keith. was Keith. I forgot we let Keith have so much rope with the song selection tonight. I want to put on some more Four Seasons stuff myself. But.
Yeah, that's... Keith says I like that so too much.
Hey, but you know, it is Valentine's Day, and so I'll ask you this before we bring on Scoop Stanton to close out the show tonight. What is love? Well, the Bible tells us what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. And so remember that on Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, ladies and gentlemen, since we won't talk to you again before V-Day. Happy Valentine's Day from all of us here, the staff and crew, production team, great Sam, Ben, the rest of the crew in the studio. We couldn't do it without them, and they do a great job for us every single hour of every single week. We love them. We love you, our dear family of listeners, and don't forget to treat that significant others of yours on Tuesday. Hey, got an email in during the break, Eddie. Well, we'll be getting a lot all night, but this one I will read. This one I'll read. Comes from an attractive young mother who writes that I should tell Eddie that if someone stopped me and said to me what you told that mother in the park, that she would have taken your phone number down and invited you over for supper.
I sure eat. Lord knows I love food.
Eddie, wow, his stories, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Exclamation point.
Well, thank you so much. That's an honor. Anyone that knows me will tell you that I love ladies. I always try to protect them, you know, in a paternal way. I run with some young women that are much faster than me. They pace me when I have to do what they call tempo runs and time trials. And I always make them run away from the traffic. I just love to protect. I really do. It's just in my blood. James can tell you that. Thank you so much. What an honor. What an honor. I'd rather have something like that, James, than to be complimented by the Queen of England.
So if you ran into the right mother, you could have had dinner, but unfortunately you ran into...
self-hater.
Yep, that's right. But you know what? That's what we're here for. We're here to bring white people back to common sense.
Thank God for people like that hadn't been brainwashed. And it makes me worry. I wonder if there's any hope for people like this young mother I ran into.
Maybe not, but maybe for their children if they tune into this show as early before the professors
thank
get
God
to
for that. Well, thank you very much for sending me that. That makes my month. It really does.
Well, it's been a busy show tonight, and we're going to let Scoop take us, drag us across the finish line, as it were. Scoop, take it away.
This segment is going to be called The War is Over. Now, on Saturday, December 20th, 2014, it was one of the most prolific days in political cesspool history. It was the day police officer Wen Jianlu and Rafael Ramos were murdered by Ismael Brindley in Brooklyn, New York. Sean Bergen raced to the scene while James had to retool the entire show. It was a Christmas show. We knew it was more than a local story. We were right. Early January, we even coined the phrase, War on Police. Since then, we had to deal with hundreds of members of law enforcement murdered in line of duty, including those in Harris County, Texas, Dallas, Baton Rouge, and so on. We had the media rip apart every action of any law enforcement officer. We had Black Lives Matter visit the White House. We saw good cops retiring, other cops hesitate from taking action. And we saw Freddie Gray become the patron saint of Baltimore. We saw cities like Ferguson, Baltimore, and Milwaukee burn. The Baltimore Orioles had to play a home game in an empty stadium because of boorish black behavior. We saw Barack Obama undermine the police every chance he could. The epitome of his hatred for police came at a memorial service for five Dallas area officers killed while working a Black Lives Matter or anti-police march. Obama stirred up the tensions between minorities and police numerous times, and he did this in a room full of cops at a memorial for five dead officers. Meanwhile, the political cesspool has been in overdrive fighting the war on cops. We have been reading the names of the victims of Obama's war. We are on the air supporting the cops. We are trashing Black Lives Matter as much as the FCC allows. We are explaining why Darren Wilson and Eric Casebolt and the Baltimore Six are not only innocent, but within departmental guidelines. We are telling the rank and file officers off the air that we support them, and we got their six. Guy saw what we were doing and thought we could use some help and gave us Jim Lancio. Then enter Donald J. Trump. Trump entered the presidential race to bring back good-paying American jobs, stop the flood of legal aliens, and to stop the status quo in Washington. But having his ear on the ground, he then pledged to become the law and order president and backs law enforcement 100%. This brought ring endorsements from the likes of Joe Arpaio, David Clark, and Rudy Giuliani. Trump called for federal laws imposing the death penalty for anyone that kills a federal, state, or even local law enforcement officer. Tuesday, November 8, 2016, was a new day for America and its law enforcement. Even before his inauguration, Trump called the family of NYPD Sergeant Paul Tuzzolo, giving his sympathy and apologizing for not being able to attend the funeral. Shortly after taking his oath of office as the 45th U.S. President, the White House published six issue statements on his websites, including one titled, "Standing Up for Our Law Enforcement Community," unquote. In it, the Trump White House pledged to be a law and order administration while stopping what it characterized as a dangerous anti-police atmosphere in America. President Trump also met with law enforcement on his inauguration detail, thanking them for a job well done. Trump also recently met with the National Sheriff's Association earlier this week. However, the war on cops officially ended on February 9th when President Trump signed an executive order ordering the Justice Department to use existing federal laws to prosecute those who commit crimes against law enforcement. Now, this will end the line of duty test for law enforcement. Names will still go on the wall at Judiciary Square here in Washington. I will still read the names of those murdered in the line of duty, but the names won't go up as often. Black Lives Matter won't be at the White House, and frankly, won't matter anymore. And the Justice Department won't be going after the police, but actually helping them. And the media won't be bothering cops because they're spending all day, every day, paying attention and trashing President Trump. Also, the wall is going up, legals are going out, Muslims are being stopped, and the liberals are losing their mind. Most importantly, we can all sleep better at night. James, Eddie, back to you.
Hey, Scoop, so good to hear you tonight, my brother. I missed you last week, got jammed up. You didn't miss anything, had a lot of technical difficulties, especially in the second hour. You mentioned Black Lives Matter, Scoop. You know, I was listening to the Red Ice the other day, and they said, and I agree, well, of course, you know, you and I both know this, it's true. Organizations like Black Lives Matter, they've got so much support from our president who just left, you know, Obama, that they've created so much fear amongst good police officers in the United States that if the police do try to step in and try to enforce the law, they will be castigated. And you see that everywhere. You see that in Memphis. We had a police officer killed in Memphis back, I think it was in June, where we had a thug that ran over him, ran over a policeman, and killed him, ran over him intentionally, you know, and killed him dead. We have a murderer who was just convicted of murder by his peers here in Memphis. And now you don't hear one thing of sympathy from the black community. They're trying to, you know, for the murdered victim, they're trying to protect and they're trying to go forth for a new trial for the fellow who just convicted the murder. But I tell you what, Scoop, you know, I'll be 70 years old in April, and I was talking to my wife just this night. I didn't think I'd ever see it slide down, the America slide down this bad, Scoop. I really didn't.
Well, we're just out of time. I want to thank Scoop for that excellent contribution and report to the program this week, as he does every week that he's on. I want to thank you, Scoop, you, Eddie, and Keith, who were on earlier. Of course, our guests tonight, Lana and Henrik, and the incredible team that we have in the network, Sam, Ben, and the rest of the crew that make us sound so good and do all the production work and take us in and out of breaks. Couldn't do it without them. And they are the heroes behind the political cesspool every Saturday night, that's for sure. Because if it wasn't for them, Eddie, we would just be sitting here with a couple of dead mics talking to each other.
Yep.
He takes us out around the world. And I want to thank Ben. He's filling in for Sam tonight. Ben, great job, my friend. Thank you for being with us. And thank you, too, ladies and gentlemen. And we'll talk to you next week. Great to be back with you after missing last week. I'll see you in 7 days from now. Good night. God bless. www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.